أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. It's the last couple of weeks of, or less than 2 weeks of, the month of Sha'ban. I want to remind all of us of the importance of the month that we are currently in and the following month in terms of our spiritual development. These talks are dedicated to matters that are seen as political, and for that reason it may be seeming a bit odd for some that we are addressing the matter of spiritual development. However, the important, very important general reminder regarding that topic is that, as we say, politics are not a-religious, and religion is not separate from politics. Religion includes divine religion. We're not talking about some man-made religion. Religion from God, from the beginning to the end, was relevant to the political questions, the political climate, political authority of the land, and how people are governed, and so on and so forth. While that is said, the other part of that is that that politics is connected to the spiritual elements, the spiritual foundation of religion. Those are also inseparable. One of the problems that the Ummah has faced is those within the Ummah drifting away from the goals of religion, while they seem to be part of the Muslim Ummah. They change their direction in terms of where they're headed, what their objectives in their personal and political lives are. And because they have been part of the Muslim Ummah, yet their objectives are different, and then they get involved in the political structure of the Muslimin, they end up causing the Muslimin to drift away. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, as long as the enemy that he was dealing with was external, outside of the borders of Islam, they were never able to defeat the Prophet. They were never able to cause a serious setback of any form. The Holy Prophet made progress very rapidly over the course of 23 years. He flipped the Arabian Peninsula upside down, or right side up, I should say. It was upside down before him. He fixed it up, and it was completely different only over the course of 23 years. 23 years is not a very long time, brothers and sisters. Those who've lived a little longer and have watched political events occur and for movements to develop, the closest thing we have today to that is the Islamic Revolution. And by nature of it being the extension of the movement of the Prophet, it has some resemblance and similarities in terms of the rapid change that it has caused. However, it is still incomparable to the movement of the Prophet. The amount of change that the Holy Prophet's movement brought over the course of 23 years is phenomenal. 23 years, none of the external powers of the East or the West, the Persians or the Romans, or the Mushrikeen of Mecca and their extensions in the rest of Arabia, none of them were able to stop the Prophet from making progress. Never. Never. If there was a setback in a battle like the Battle of Uhud in a certain way, initially there was a victory, then there was a setback, then there was a victory. The final victory of Uhud was with the Muslimin as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all three parts of that in the Holy Quran. He granted victory, people misbehaved, and so they lost that victory. Then again, they behaved properly when the Mushrikeen had another plan for the Muslimin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلًا لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. There was no setback in the movement of the Prophet in the battle, this small event here. Even that was because of where there was a defeat. That initial victory was because the Mu'mineen did what they were supposed to. The defeat in the midst of the battle was because of what? Was because the Mu'mineen drifted away from the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told them. They left, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very harshly to the Mu'mineen there. And again, when after that defeat, they're wounded. The wounded are told the Mushrikeen are going to come and get you. And they're being scared, meaning they're scaring them so that they would abandon the Prophet. They say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. When people are booing them, trying to scare them, that, oh my God, the Mushrikeen, they defeated you, now they're coming after you. They said, Hasbunallah, God is sufficient. Yes, we're wounded, we're going to do whatever it takes. They were wounded at this point. They did what God said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory, the Mushrikeen withdrew, they returned to Mecca, they didn't follow through with their plans. Just because the Mu'mineen stood up. Whenever the Mu'mineen are firm from within, the spiritual development of the Mu'mineen is moving forward. They keep sight of their goals and objectives that God has given them, not personal ones. Not gains in this world. Not in the name of Islam, doing what the pharaohs were trying to do. No. Fir'auna ala fil ard. He wanted ulub. He wanted to have excellence and elevation, a stature and status above the rest of the people in the material realm. Materially, he was trying to ascend above, be better than someone. That spirit is against the goals and objectives of Islam. Islam, the Prophet never wanted any elevation or excellence in the material realm for himself as compared to others. He wanted to elevate mankind. He served mankind. That's what a leader does. That's what the prophets taught. And that's what they did. And that's what their objectives were. To help people ascend and excel spiritually as well as materially. People. Whenever within the boundaries of Islam, within the folds of the Muslimin, there have been people that have been influential, and instead of using those influences that they had, their influential status for the goals of Islam, they used it for a different set of goals. That's where you see problems occurring. That's where you see setbacks for the movement of Islam. It slows down, it never stops. God has said, He has promised, this movement will only make progress. The progress slows down instead of the rapid progress that the Prophet was making. There was slow progress. There was progress, there was slow progress. There's always been progress throughout the centuries because of the work of the Prophet, and before him prophets, and after him the Imams. There's always been progress, but it's been slow because of not external sources, not the Mushrikeen, not the Persians, not the Romans, not the Jews outside of Medina. They didn't pose a real threat. The movement persisted, it continued. The rapid progress continued despite their presence, their enmity. Taking care of our spiritual development is very, very much relevant to this. After the demise of the Prophet, it wasn't the Romans that slowed down dramatically the progress of the Muslimin. It was people within the ranks of the Muslimin that did that. People that were seemingly close to the Prophet, and physically, in terms of the time they spent with the Prophet, they were close. In terms of their daughters being in the house of the Prophet, they were close. In terms of being in many of the incidents, crucial, critical, important incidents of the days of the Prophet, they were there, present with the Prophet. Despite all of that, they weren't close to the Prophet in terms of his goals and objectives. They had drifted further and further away from the goals of the Prophet. And so when the Prophet passed away, while they still seemed Muslim, they still prayed, still insisted on Hajj, they still insisted on the Quran being preserved, and so on and so forth, their goals had changed. And that's where the damage can come most significantly. In the contemporary context, I've been meaning to discuss this. It is an important example for us to learn. Many of us may not be directly involved or influenced by the event that I'm going to speak of. Everybody has heard of it. Everybody is more or less following, or at least hearing what's happening with it. But I think it's important to discuss it, at the very least from this perspective, from the perspective of seeing a modern example of this. The Islamic Revolution, with the leadership, the divine leadership of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, that only and only feared God and none other, and obeyed only and only God, none other, despite whatever pressures from the outside world and from people close to him were exerted to get him to change direction, he did not change the direction of the Islamic Revolution one bit over the course of the 10 years of leadership after the success of the revolution. Because before that, there's 15 years of work, same thing happened, but the pressure from within, by people that were close to him, none of that influenced his push in moving the revolution in the direction that Islam wants, Allah wants, the Prophet wants, the Ahlul Bayt want. Never changed that. the leadership over the course of the 30 plus years that he has been the leader has also continued moving in the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for us in the Quran, through the Sunnah of the Prophet, through the words of the Ahlul Bayt. The leadership has moved forward with that, and he has been unwavering. None of the threats of the East or the West, when there was an East, now the East is the Islamic movement. Now the East is aligning itself with the Islamic movement. Those who can see it can see it. Those who can't, they're blind. The emerging power is not any other than the Islamic movement. That's the only emerging power. There was a time where there was only one superpower in the world after the defeat of the Soviet Union. What happened starting before the fall of the Soviet Union, but what was seen after the fall of the Soviet Union is the emerging of another power, and that's the Islamic movement, and the kuffar simply do not want to acknowledge that. Despite all the threats, all the wars, all the sabotage, all the whatever coming from the outside, the rapid change of the Islamic revolution following the footsteps of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, it's made that progress over the course of these 40 plus years. There have been, however, times where that rapid progress has been slowed down. One of those instances is due to the presence of the current government. What I mean by government right now is not the Islamic system, it is the presidency, the president and the ministers, the cabinet, that swears in or is sworn in to uphold the constitution, which is an Islamic constitution with the goals of Islam for the Muslimin of Iran and elsewhere. That's basically what the constitution of the Islamic Republic is. They swear an allegiance and they swear to uphold that constitution. Despite that, during the two terms that this particular president has been serving, we have seen a time of slow progress. We don't have rapid progress. In certain areas, we still do. The parts that the believers are involved, those who believe more and have the Islamic goals in mind, and that includes the defense system in the Islamic Republic. And you see that they've only made progress, rapid progress. Everybody is astonished, despite whatever limitations they're setting on them and pressuring them politically, financially, in whatever ways they can, through the media, bombarding that most believing and most firm صَفَّاً كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ, that element within the Islamic Revolution. No matter how much they are pressured, they continue to make rapid progress, astonishing progress. However, as a whole, if we look at the Islamic government, the progress that is made overall in terms of the economy of the country, in terms of world politics, overall the progress is slow over the course of these years. What is the reason for that? The reason is that the people that are responsible to help direct the movement, move the movement towards the goals of Islam, although they are Muslim and they say those are our goals, Islam is our goal, Islam is our religion, that's what they say, that's what they wear. They wear clothing that resembles the clothing that Imam Khomeini wore, or the leader wears. Yet what happens is that their goals have changed. Their goals have changed. They like to sit down and laugh with whom they called world leaders. The Tawagit, the Firauns. Mr. Rouhani likes to sit down in New York and laugh and chit-chat and crack jokes with members of the American, French, British, German, whatever Western European country, members of their establishments. Just love that. Just look at the laughter there. There's plenty of pictures. And then when he's with the believers, you see a pretty gloomy face. When it comes to the enemies of Islam, you see a smile. When it comes to the believers, when they remind them of the goals of Islam, you see harsh words, ugly faces. This shows that their direction is different. They've been westernized. They have developed wilaya of the kuffar. In their hearts, they love Western countries as they are, with the facade, with the corruption. They think that the world is run by the United States of America. They have forgotten that the Quran says God runs the world, not the American establishment. Either they don't see it themselves, they've moved so deep into this that they can't even see it themselves, or if they see that Islam says something different, they seem to openly disagree with that, openly reject that. Through their words and conduct, it's very visible. It's nothing hidden. When they say we need to give in to the ways of the masters, well, that contradicts the Qur'an. The Qur'an says, do you want to obey those masters because you want izzah from them? أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Izzah belongs to Allah. Having independence, being proud, standing straight, standing with your head up, doing what you know is good for you and your nation, which is what Islam prescribes for all people. All people are people. They're all God's creation. These divisions of ethnicity, of race, of color, of whatever, these are all wrong. Any way of life that limits its prosperity to a certain race, a certain ethnicity, a certain language, a certain color, all of that is non-divine, all wrong. God presents a path of guidance that brings prosperity to all. Anyhow, they have drifted away. And the result is that the progress has slowed down. This is a lesson for us. This is an important lesson for us, brothers, sisters. We have got to make sure we continue making progress internally and spiritually. Use the context of the month of Sha'ban. Use the context of the month of Ramadan. Many of the people that you see right now sucking up to the West, despite what the leadership says, and the direction of the revolution is still what the leadership says. I will talk about that briefly. Yet they stand there openly, publicly, speaking against that direction, which is a direction that God has given us in the Quran. The Prophet has given us in his words and in his conduct. The reason why you see that they once upon a time seemed to have been ultra-revolutionary. They were extreme in their measures against those who were not with the revolution, which was wrong. Even then, that was a deviation. That was not seen by some. But in terms of seeming like their direction is the direction of the revolution, some minor mistakes here and there, they drifted away. We've got to be careful. If we don't make spiritual progress, if we don't move in the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that danger is for all of us. We are in danger. The only way to save us, save ourselves in this world and the hereafter, to remain on the path of Allah, is to be careful, to have taqwa, to make sure we take advantage of the month of Sha'ban when no one's there. We spend time in sujood. Imam al-Askari salamullah alayhi has advised us, alaykum bitul sujood, extend and prolong your sujood. In that sajda, confess to Allah, the wrongs, the shortcomings. Confess He's the Lord and not us. And we have violated that right of lordship that He has by obeying our own desires. And ask for forgiveness and repeat that and repeat that. To notice it. To notice that problem within us. That problem needs to be resolved. We need to address it. We can turn our attention away from it. We can sweep it under the carpet, but the problem persists. The problem is there. The problem of obeying the desires. The problem of seeing a God within. The biggest idol is the idol of the nafs. If we don't take care of it, especially in the context of these great months, that God has given us this opportunity to do that, then God forbid, sooner or later, that idol within is going to start getting bigger and bigger, and we're going to start drifting further and further away from the direction of the Prophet, the direction of the Qur'an, the direction of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Because the revolution is led by a just jurist, a leader who is equipped with a divine understanding of his context, as well as a deep understanding of what God wants, a detailed understanding of what God wants, a firm will to suppress any desire within or without, to waver away and drift away. A slight command, a simple, a small command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has an unwavering will to keep going with what God has said. He implements the teaching, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Remain steadfast. Remain on the path. Don't waver. Because of that leadership and the firm followers, one of whom was the late Shaykh Haj Qasim Sulaimani and Haj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis from Iraq, and others, Haj Imad Mughniya, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, as he says, these are the soldiers, the people that realize that the leadership is divine and they follow that leadership. They're very firm in that. Because of that, the movement will persist and it will continue moving forward. We will see, inshallah, there will be elections in the Islamic Republic. These people whose Kaaba is Washington, D.C., or London, or Paris, or whatever other capital, the West in general, these people will leave office. Another group of people will come that may be a little more westernized, a little less westernized, depending on how the Iranian people are able to see the truths and see the goals and see the leadership of the leader in electing the right government or presidency, depending on that, there will be people that will be more or less on the path of Islam or on the path towards the West. But the element that will remain as the head, as the leadership, with the support of the dominant majority of the Islamic Republic, although they might not be able to tell what his leadership is, drift on slight matters like electing a president, at times some mistakes like that have been made, but the dominant, it should not be a question in people's minds. The dominant majority of the Iranian people are still steadfast behind the leadership. At times they may mistake what the leadership wants or what the leadership guides towards. They may make mistakes in that regard for various reasons that at times we should discuss, was we may make the same mistakes as well. However, they are most definitely strong supporters of the Islamic government, the Islamic Republic, and the leadership. The leadership, with that support, will continue making progress. The revolution will not cease to make progress. It has never ceased to make progress. These governments come and go, presidents come and go. During some presidencies, there's been more progress in certain areas, less progress in certain other areas. But the progress has been there. And inshallah, as the leadership has said, through his guidance, we say, he didn't say that part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help the Iranian people make more spiritual progress in wanting the goals of Islam and seeing them better and seeing the people that want those better and therefore electing better presidents, presenting better presidents and cabinets, and better presidents and cabinets coming in, working harder, more rapidly towards the directions that Islam wants us, and the changes that will be seen on an international scale are going to be much more rapid than what you're seeing today. Although again, the change on a global scale is rapid. The developments are still rapid, not as much in certain presidencies like the one we're in, which is going to come to an end. These presidents come and go. The direction of the Iranian people is a direction that's presented to them by the leadership at the time of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini, afterwards Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him, prolong his life, and allow all of us to benefit from his leadership until the coming of the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, where he will no longer need that type of representation. He will be directly leading the movement without the liaison of a mujtahid, a marja, as we have it today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam and allow us to be his true and close companions. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.